sometimes, you know, just looking for an answer of what to do when you're dealing with certain situations, and the answer has not come to you directly as to what your next move should be. You prayed about it. You fasted about it, and still you are without a peace that surpasses all understanding. And as you're tossing and turning and turning and tossing in the night watches, you fall asleep. And as you fall asleep, you wake up. You wake up. You wake up. You wake up. And you wake up not with the problem, but you wake up with the problem solved. It reminds me of what David said, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, hallelujah, joy comes in the morning. And so whatever your thought was when you went to bed, that issue that you had when you went to sleep, you can attest that you know that God has answered your prayer, because he's come with a word in the night watches. And he sent you the answer. I don't know if you have, like I have, experienced in a moment of time, hallelujah, to ever hear a word from the Lord. Sometimes I love good preaching, and hopefully I'm giving all of us something that we can feast off of today. But there is nothing greater and more intimate and more invigorating than having direct communications with God. Hallelujah. Often I hear people, and I can guess myself at times, we could say something told. The truth be told, it wasn't. Truth be told, the someone was involved. The someone, not something, but the someone. The someone being the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost spoke to us in a way that we knew it was different than what we would hear in a physical or natural realm. And so the Holy Ghost spoke to us in a way that we can always acknowledge that we had a forewarning of things to come. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit should never be caught off guard, because the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. We don't walk in a particular office as a prophet or as a prophetess. Because we are the church, the ecclesia. We are the temple, individually and collectively, of the Holy Ghost. And because the word is true, the Holy Ghost will show things to come and will guide us into the truth of Jesus Christ. So we are not to be caught off guard. And so we listen. And times we don't listen. And that's when we get back to this part of something told. When we say that out of knowing, we should have listened. But we didn't. There's no denying that we heard a word, or that the Holy Spirit talked to us, but we failed to obey. I don't know. I just will confess to y'all about myself. Hallelujah. That I've often in my lifetime, I've experienced those times where I missed God, Brother Bobby. I just didn't obey God. And I am, hallelujah, even in my walk now, striving to obey him more than I ever have before, while he delays his return. I'm so grateful to God, hallelujah, for his grace, and for his son, Jesus Christ, and for the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm so grateful that God chooses to communicate with each each of us directly through the Holy Spirit and without a filter. Y'all don't need me to tell you anything about the Lord. I've needed the Lord already speak to you in the Bible, the book, and through the amplification of His Holy Spirit. I'm just here as a cheerleader, if you will. In this process to edify one another. I feel sorry for those who have never had a direct encounter with the first kind, if you will, and that is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I feel sorry for those who have not had their own road to Damascus experience.
My Lord.
I feel sorry for those who have not experienced what Moses did, hallelujah, when he was on the backside of the mountain. He had his direct experience with a burning bush, and God speaking to him through that burning bush and telling him to go back to Egypt. He who was a murderer, go back to the scene of the crime and tell Pharaoh, let my people go.
Amen.
I feel for those who don't have a testimony, that the Spirit of God moved upon me and shared a word, shared the solution to my problem. He gave me a life-changing word. I feel sorry for those who don't have that personal testimony. I pray for all of those who have not had it in the world, that God will give it to you. And so as I consider the story of Joseph, Mary's husband, he, like many of us, had that moment in life that when he thought everything was perfect, suddenly he found himself in what appears to be, as you're reading through the scriptures, a perplexing dilemma, the predicament of the pregnancy. What do you do? And still do the just thing. I think he was struggling with that. What do you do and still show Mary that you care? What do you do when you don't have the answer? As a just man, but you can reasonably see that things are not going to turn out well if you put her away privately. What do you do, Joseph? I'm certain too, y'all, that during the past 2 years, we have found ourselves at times struggling in this pandemic. We're facing our own personal dilemmas of life, and on top of all of that, we're dealing with pandemics within a pandemic, and then a pandemic within a pandemic, and we're still struggling with what do we do? When nothing else can help, what do we do? My older brother, Rob, Lindsey Robinson, we call him Rob. Rob is a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel. I remember one time he was facing a family crisis, if you will, and this was years ago. And he said something to me that bears repeating now. And what he told me was this. He said, you know, when you're facing a crisis, sometimes the best thing to do is just nothing. When you're facing a crisis, hear me this morning, family, what you need to do is just nothing. The best thing to do is just nothing when you are dealing with an issue that has your emotions jacked up and you're hurting on the inside because you've been let down. Your emotions are raging on the inside because your perfect situation
room was downstairs.
There, girl, put her out there where she could face the penalty of death. He did nothing.
We just going to go for breakfast or something. They even, I know I want
to. Ursula, could you put it? This is Ursula. You put it on mute. Hallelujah. It was a bit nothing. While he was struggling with what's going on with Mary and his announcement from God that she's with child. And at some point, by design or perhaps just out of sheer fatigue, because he thought about it so much, you know, he falls asleep. And he went to sleep, I believe, with a troubled mind and perhaps a broken heart. But in an environment that certainly he thought was a mess, God sends him a message. God texted him, if you will, through an angel to transform his thoughts from that to embrace the message of God, the good news of God, the gospel of Emmanuel. God be with us. The Son of God who was conceived in Mary. We read again our text from Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And it reads like this. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with them. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, and knew her not, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called, that's Joseph called, and Joseph called his name Jesus. Family, the text shows us something remarkable. Before he received the message of God, Joseph did nothing. He was thinking about a lot of stuff, but he did nothing. He did not make matters worse by imposing his thoughts and his feelings and his emotions and his will on what at first glance was a religious, social, and legal predicament for him and for Mary. Joseph just cheated. He didn't overreact. He went to sleep on it, y'all. And God sent a message, and the message was Jesus. The message was Jesus. Hallelujah. I can recall even now. Sunday night at 7:30. Testimony service. And our good friend and brother, hallelujah, Elder Norman Williams, he had this song, hallelujah. What's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Jesus, I believe that Joseph heard the message. And when he woke up from his sleep, hallelujah, he was better. He was better, not bitter, but he was better because he heard the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. The gospel will be Jesus. Family, we should not take it for granted. Or underestimate the power of God to speak to our unconscious mind. about to come on. I can see Joseph moving from a place of perhaps shock and awe to a place of recovery. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. A place of recovery. That place is in the TWO. Joseph had his own experience to think up, because initially his thinking was to put Mary away promptly, but he didn't do so.
Mama.
He waited on God.
Yes,
he did. Joseph had his own experience, the word, as he, in the night watches, received and acknowledged that I've heard the message of God about the gift of God. But more importantly, now, Joseph also had his own experience to obey Him. Hallelujah. To obey Him. So we go to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph being raised from sleep means something more than just he lying in the bed and he woke up. It's beyond that. And Joseph was not just woke, hallelujah, whatever that means, here in 2022. He was more than just woke. He woke up, hallelujah. He obeyed up and did as God commanded him to do. Messenger God came with directions that Joseph had to do something. God gave him three assignments, which required threefold obedience. One, I want you to go get Mary and the baby and bring them back home. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I can preach all by yourself. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Go get the baby. Go get Mary and bring him back home. And two, hallelujah. He said, don't touch it now.
My.
Why, but don't touch her now. That holy thing is in her. You see, don't be intimate with her now. And three, he said, name the baby
Jesus.
For he shall
save
his
people
from their sins. Oh, Joseph woke up. Hallelujah. And he left his house, and he got married with the baby to bring him home so he could be, so she could be, hallelujah, his wife under his loving protection.
Mm.
Joseph will protect her and not touch her. So that the seed of the woman might become his legitimate son on this earth and the rightful heir to the throne of David. Family, Joseph woke up. He obeyed up, and without hesitation, he went to work. The word of God came to him with a healing to quell the questions of a troubled mind. And immediate action took place within him and removed the painful doubt that certainly all of us would have had in this circumstance. Joseph woke up and obeyed without the delay of doing what God had called him to do. The word of God always comes with the work of God. I can hear the word say even now, now faith. Not delayed faith, but now faith. Not when I get to it according to my own schedule, but now faith, not tomorrow. Not next week, not next month, not next football season, not next year, but now faith. Hallelujah. I feel my health coming on. Now faith,
substance
of things hoped for, and the evidence, hallelujah, of things not seen. Family, the threefold obedience required of Joseph was just man. And that same threefold obedience should remind us that we need to be more than just woke.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be, if you will, woke up. On our way. On our way right now. Doing what God has commanded us to do in now I hear the people of God crying out for a word, and I welcome all of that. But I fear that too often we are quick to hear the word, but we are dull to listen to the word. We're quick to hear, but we're dull to listen. And there is a distinction between hearing the word and listening to the word. We know that we have listened to the word when our actions show that we have obeyed. Listening is obeying. And oftentimes we can say, we want this from God, we want that from God, and we want it, we want the word. But check this out, we want the gift. But we reject the giver. The word, but we turn our death on the word. Love costs you something, baby. Love costs you something. Love is work. We want the blessings, but we reject the instructions. Can anyone relate with me as having been there where you wanted the gift, but didn't want the giver? You wanted God to do something, but he said that you need to do something, and you didn't want to do it. No doubt. Joseph heard the word, but thank God, he listened, and he obeyed. He brought Mary home. He didn't touch her, and he named the baby Jesus. What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name? On Wednesday night, Elder Bobby was teaching, and one of the things that he said on Wednesday night was to remind us that a lot of times as we are maturing in our walk of faith, sometimes this is not maturing, but we'll say something along the lines of, it doesn't take all that. It doesn't take all that. Well, Elder Bobby helped us to see that obedience, obeying, hallelujah, it does take all of that. Here we encounter God. Hallelujah. His word comes.
Thank you, Jesus.
With an assignment. His word comes with work. The word of God always comes to energize us to be about the business of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. At John 14:12. And I read from the New Living Translation, a message, hallelujah, the text, hallelujah, if you will, from Jesus. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, hallelujah, will do the same works I have done. And even greater works.
Greater works.
Because I'm going to be with the Father. To the ecclesia, to the church, he commanded us to do greater works. There is no law, hallelujah. There is no custom, no history, no Jim Crow, no slavery, no segregation, no desegregation, no economy, no pandemic that can stop the people of God from doing what Jesus has done. And as he said, even more, even greater work. Hallelujah. Because Christ is ascended and sitting at the throne of the right hand of God. What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name? Hallelujah. Jesus. Tell me, what good is this? To hear words from God over and over and over and over again. When we won't do what God has already told us to do. We could just start with the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. And we could just start like that. Just do what the Lord tells us to do.
Mm-hmm.
How much better our lives will be. Our communities will be. Our cities, our states, our nations. That we can do even greater works according to the power of God that works in us. we want to take it to the next level.
Amen.
We got to obey up. We got to obey up. So let me close. I want to close with a message from Jesus. It's taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 40 through 48. And it says, "Be you therefore ready also, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not." Then Peter said unto him, "Lord, speak you this parable unto us or even to all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." I'm at work now. "Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My Lord delays his coming,' and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and to eat and drink and to be drunk, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour which he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbeliever. And that servant which do his Lord's will and prepare not himself, and prepare not herself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, she that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him or her shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him or her that they will have the more." To the ecclesia, they that know to do and don't do, we're beaten with many stripes.
With many stripes, amen. That's the word.
Amen. 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 Amen.